And there's a few generations back as well. So there's quite a few funny stories, because my granddad's dad was a policeman. Remind me to tell you the story about the lion, but I won't tell you this morning because I might take all the time up. So, okay, I'm just going to pray again, if that's okay. Father God, thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your truth. Thank you so much, Lord, as we've been sharing this morning, that you never change. And no matter what, Lord, that we are facing in the natural, the things that we can only see with our eyes, Lord, we know that you are there and you've always been there. Lord, the things that we're going through now, even at this moment that might be passing through our minds, Lord, we just rest them upon you. And we cast all our fear and anxiety on you, because you care for us. We thank you so much, Father. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just open up your word to us, Lord, this morning. Let it not be about me. Let it be about Jesus, your Son. Let's go out of here, Lord, with Jesus on our lips and on our hearts, and your presence, Lord, a tangible presence that we might encounter you through your truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to talk this morning about potential. And because John gave me a free subject, and I thought to myself, what can I speak on? Shall I speak on Eric Cantona? Or is it Colin Bell? Someone like that, you know. But then I thought it might not be appropriate to spend a lot of time talking about football. So I thought I'd talk about Jesus, if that's okay. But yeah, potential. I don't know if you remember the Olympics. It seems like a long time ago now, the Olympics. But me and my family, we spent quite a lot of time watching the Olympics. And our first, the great British first gold medal was won by a guy called Adam Peaty, if you remember that. And it was fascinating because that guy is an amazing swimmer. He's so fast. You watch him in the pool, it's just amazing. But after he won his gold medal, they interviewed his parents. And his parents said that when he was a little boy, he was scared of the water. And I just thought, that's incredible. And they said they've got family pictures of him on holiday in rock pools, fully clothed, because he's too scared to go into the sea. When he took a bath, he was too scared to sit down. And I just thought, this is incredible. He's the fastest swimmer of his category in the world. He actually holds the world record, and he smashed world records as he went along. He was scared of the water. And as I was sat there, I just started thinking to myself, imagine if he'd have never gone in the water. All that potential just wouldn't have happened, or the gold medals wouldn't have happened, the world record wouldn't have happened, and all because his parents pushed him towards swimming lessons, because they felt he needed to swim. So they pushed him, and he ended up not fearing the water, and now he loves the water, and now he's found a gift. And I just thought to myself, how many of us Christians aren't realizing something in our Christian walk because we're too scared to get in the water, or we don't think we're good enough to get into the water, or when we get into the water, something's going to happen. And I just want to read a couple of passages for you, if I may. One from John 1, verses 1 to 13, and Ephesians 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It's talking about Jesus. In him was life, in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And Ephesians 3:14-21 says this. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's just amazing, God's word. It's just fantastic. But the reason I wrote those passages, because I think, I mean, there's many things you could say about those things, but in those passages, there's two fundamental truths about us as Christians, which I believe affect our potential. And it might surprise you to think that kingdom potential is different to worldly potential, because the kingdom of God is just vastly different to the world's way of thinking. It really is. I mean, you think about, if talking about Adam Peaty, if he hadn't have gone into the water and somehow we'd have found out how gifted he was at swimming later, and you didn't quite get to the gold medal stage, the world would say that he's failed in his potential. The world would say that, you know, he could have done that. He could have made gold medals. He could have made world records. But he didn't get there. But in the kingdom of God, the amazing thing is that your potential has already been realized. Because what you were created for was to be in relationship with God. And if you are a Christian, you are in relationship with God. So therefore, there's a depth of potential, which means possible, not yet realized, which has changed for you as a Christian, basically meaning what you never thought possible has been realized. It's true. And we don't come to church to somehow earn something, to get God's favor, to somehow fulfill our potential. We're coming to church in relationship with Jesus Christ, born again, new creations, and that potential has already been realized. Now, I know that in the Christian walk, we fight the good fight and we bear fruit and we run the race. But all of those things have to be from the truth that you already realized why you were created, because you're in relationship with God. Even when you're sleeping, you're in relationship with God. When you wake up and you might not get the time to spend time in God's presence because something happens in your circumstances, you're still in the presence. You still realize your potential as a child of God. And the first truth I want to give you to emphasize this, which is amazing to me, it says in John, we read, Jesus came to his own people didn't receive him. But to all who did receive him, and who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You have been given the right to be a child of God. And that's fascinating to me. And what's interesting about when you speak is that you have to make these truths your own, which is why I like speaking, because the preparation before is I have to make this my own. I can't just say to you, you have been given the right to be a child of God, and then not really realize it myself. And I've spent time just thinking about this as we moved last week, moving boxes, changing nappies. I'm just thinking about it, saying, God has given me the right to be a child of God. Because I've received and believed in Jesus, I have the right to be a child of God because he's given it to me. And receiving Jesus and believing in Jesus is just opening your heart. If you're not a Christian this morning, then I urge you before you leave to just speak to someone. Speak to John, one of the guys at the back, or myself. What it means to receive and believe in Jesus. It's quite simple. It's just receiving a free gift of salvation. And this receiving and believing is a continued dynamic as you walk your Christian walk. It's not something you do to get a stamp into heaven and then just leave Jesus aside and then carry on walking. Carry on with your life. It's something that's, it's a constant dynamic. Every day as Christians we're receiving and believing the truth that he's given us a right to be a child of God. We're receiving that gift of salvation. We're thanking him for it. As we spoke earlier, sometimes it's just simple to just receive. All we can really do is receive and give thanks. And that's a constant dynamic. But the amazing thing is that God gave us the right to be a child of God. And when you think about children, that tells me about relationship. So God has made it possible for all of us to be in a relationship with him. We're not talking about someone we don't know when we're presenting ourselves before God, or we're thinking about God, or we're opening the Word, and we're speaking to God, or we're trying to work out what it means to be a Christian. This is about a relationship. This is love. This is family. Which is why God all over the Bible is talking about sons, daughters. He's our Father. Because he wants us to understand that this is a relationship. And he's invited us in. He's made a way by giving us Jesus. That we might receive that gift of salvation and constantly walk with Jesus day by day. Constantly having our perspective change towards the truth that we are children of God. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of the King. We are children of God. And we're not children of God because we've done something to earn it. He has given us the right through Jesus Christ to be children of God, to call ourselves children of God. Verse 13 says, the children of God who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And that's fascinating in itself, because now we're children of God. We're not children who were born of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And what's amazing about that is I believe that all of us, including the people who haven't met Jesus yet, have the potential to step into the reality of being a child of God. And if you're born again, that means you're already in that reality. You're now born of God, because born again means born from above as well. And so now you're living your life, fulfilling your potential, being in relationship with God. And that offer is there for all of humanity. Because of what Jesus did. That offer is there for all of humanity. Because of what Jesus did. And it's amazing to me that as a Christian and as Christians, we've stepped into a new realm. We've stepped into the eternal realm. We can't see it yet. Although people do see it from time to time. Which is why we need to stay focused on the Word, focused on worship, focused on praise, because that's our home. And we've entered into that realm, and it's just amazing that that realm was always there before we were Christians. And now we've stepped into it, which is why I like evangelism, because it's almost, however you want to word it, you want to invite people into the eternal realm through Jesus Christ, through his blood, and to tell them they are the will of God. They have been made in the image of God. They are God's will And as I said, it's a continued dynamic for us as Christians to receive and believe that truth, that we are all God's will. Because you can forget these things. Because you can get into the routine of Christianity. But you are the will of God. God chose to have you. God chose to make you. You are precious to Him. He is your Father. And He gave you the right to call Him Father. And I wouldn't want anybody leaving this room today thinking that they don't have the right to enter His presence. They don't have the right to enter His presence for who they are. You don't need to look at other people and say, look at how they're worshipping. I wish I could worship like that. Because you're that precious. You are so intrinsically made by the living God that He knows every part of you and He knows your response. He knows the best way for you to enter His presence. He knows the best way for you to worship Him. Because you've got a relationship. And that fight that we fight, the reason that we keep coming and meeting is to glorify God, to lift Him up and to just praise Him and thank Him that we're in that relationship. And He gave us that right. It was His idea. That's what I like about when I sometimes wrestle with God in my mind and in my circumstances. I'm saying, God, this is your idea. This is your idea. I didn't do this. You know, I'm in certain circumstances because of my silly ideas over the years. But I am your idea, God. Do with me what you will. And it's just awesome. And when things aren't going well, I'm just like, God, this is your idea. You take it. This is your idea. My life is your idea. I'm here because you did it. So you deal with it. And so really at the core of this point is that we have been given the right to be a child of God. Is we're not trying to achieve God's approval. We have God's approval, so we achieve. Now, if that's not something that would be amazing on Twitter, if I had a Twitter account, I don't know. I'm going to say it again. We're not trying to achieve God's approval. We have God's approval, so we achieve. And see, what I'm talking about potential is that you need to know that you already have God's approval. You already know that why you were created has happened. It's happening. You're in relationship with God. So you don't need to be thinking, when am I going to succeed at this Christian life? When am I going to make it? When am I going to be like him or her or them? When's my family going to look like theirs? Where's my life going to look like his or hers? When's it going to happen, God? Because you're barking up the wrong tree. We need to be firm in our awareness and encounter that we have been approved by God already as Christians. We're already approved. So from that approval, that's when we bear fruit. That's when we achieve. That's where we fight the good fight. That's where we live out our calling from God. From that place of approval. And whether you like it or not, God approves of you as a born-again Christian. And even if you're not a born-again Christian, God approves of you so much He sent Jesus Christ, His only Son, to die on the cross, rise again, that you might be in relationship with Him. And that we don't wander too far from that at all as Christians for the rest of our lives. Breaking bread. We're always remembering that God tore that veil down. He was the one who reached out His hand and pulled us in through His Son, that we might be in relationship with Him. And when I get bored of talking about that, I'll stop talking about it. But I just can't, because it's an eternal truth. That's the amazing thing about being in touch with an eternal God. It's just an eternal discovery. All the time we're touching God, He's touching us. We're learning about Him. He's leading us all the time, but we're dealing with an eternal God. So we're never going to get to the end. We're never going to get bored. So that's the first point I want you to know, that you have been given the right to be a child of God. And so you live your life knowing that actually potential has already been realized in your life because you have been made to be in relationship with Him. And the second one, as we look to the Ephesians chapter, is you have God, so you have fullness. You already have God, so you have fullness. I'm just going to just go through this passage a little. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church in Ephesus, and they're very well behaved, it seems. If you see in chapter 1, Paul says, "For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." So Paul is basically telling the church who they are. You know, he's not having a go at them in this place for anything, because he's you know, they're faithful and they're loving. He's just telling them who they are, just reminding them who they are, and giving them some skills and tactics, as you were, as they carry on realizing who they are. So he says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Now that to me sounds like a good deal. Because this is the will of God. Paul is praying this. He's praying the will of God over us as Christians. "From whom every family in heaven, that according to the riches of God's glory," so it's not our glory, it's God's, "he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." So it's his glory, it's his strength, it's his power, it's his Spirit in your inner being. Does that sound like a good deal to you? That sounds like a great deal to me. And I want to ask you a question. Where do you go in your life where your inner being isn't? Where do you go where your inner being isn't there? You don't go anywhere without your inner being. And so I think there's a dynamic being touched on here whereby your inner being is always with you. So God is always willing, and God is always actually pouring out his Spirit into you, granting you strength, granting you power through his Spirit in your inner being. Because many times we only think the Spirit of God is working when people are laying on the floor, where people are crying, and I love all that stuff. I do love all that stuff, but I'm concerned about the day-to-day. You know, when we leave church and we go home and we're challenged throughout the week, it's like, what's happening to us? But actually, as you're opening your heart and just focusing on who you are in Christ, focusing on, for example, that you have been given the right to be a child of God, the Holy Spirit is actually working in you and you don't even know it. Because your inner being is always there. And you might not be seeing heavenly realm around you. You might not be seeing heavenly rain coming down on you. Your children might be playing up. Your husband might be playing up, perish the thought. Your wife might be playing up. I know it's probably never happened, but your wife might be playing up. But you might not have a husband or wife, and you might want a husband or wife, so you're yearning for that. And you're going through those struggles. And you're thinking, where are you, God? Where are you? But God is everywhere, right? And it's a promise of God that he's strengthening you in your inner being. And God is always willing to be doing it. And don't just because you can't see it, don't think that it's not happening. Because I know for a fact, I don't know what your life circumstances are, I know for a fact that God works in the day to day. And I don't always like it. Because I've got 3 young children, very unpredictable atmosphere at home. Very loud sometimes. You know, I have to grab peace and quiet as and when I can. But that's just my life thing. But I know that when my children are playing up and they're challenging me, I know that God is doing a work in my character. I can almost feel it. He's doing something in my inner being. His Spirit is working on me, teaching me patience, teaching me what it is to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, teaching me patience. Teaching me love. You know, Christianity is not some far out intellectual pursuit. This is real life, where you know that when you exhibit more patience, things go better for you than when you don't. And God is teaching us that. When we demonstrate love, as hard as it can be sometimes, and we choose to love someone, as hard as it can be, we know that God is doing a work in our character. So according to the riches of His glory, that He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ. You know, it takes strength for us to know who we are in Christ. It does take strength. Now, we don't use any strength to become who we are in Christ. We don't use any strength to get saved. We don't use any strength to go back in time and 2,000 years ago and somehow persuade Jesus to go on the cross so He's given us our salvation. The strength comes from realizing who we are. The strength comes from remembering in the difficult times or in the workplace and when you're driving and when you're shopping, just remembering who we are. That's when strength is needed. Strength to comprehend the love of God. Strength to remember what God has done for us. God has given us eternal life, all the benefits of being a child of God. Eternal life, we're never going to die. Jesus said we're never going to taste death. And yes, our bodies fade, but our core inner being will never lose communion with Jesus. Now, I don't know what that's going to feel like or look like, but I'm believing on Jesus. I'm not going to be fearing those things because my communion with Him will never be broken because I believe His word. And that has an effect on the way you live your life day to day. So know your starting point of having Christ in you. You already have God in you, so you have fullness. And much of our battle is remembering that God is in us. As it says in the foyer, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in you. Jesus Christ lives inside you. That is amazing. And really, a lot of our battle is faith, is seeing that. Is fighting to know that He's in you. Fighting to remember it. Fighting to structure our lives around that truth. And it's kind of it's like parallel train tracks, really. Because on one side, we're fighting, we're saying, Lord, where are you? You're reading the word and you might come across something in the Bible you don't understand. Or something in your life happens that you don't understand. But at the same time, along that truth is you're pursuing Him on one side. But as you pursue Him, He reveals Himself to show you that you're already there. That He's already in you. He's already made you a new creation. He's already given you the right to be a child of God. He's already given you that relationship. He's already opened the door for you to be in relationship with Him. And I think, just to close, I think there's a sense that knowing these two truths, and there are many others, they seem to, certainly in my life, and I believe in many others, they seem to eliminate a sense of lack in our lives. The more we realize who we are, the more we realize that God is in us, the fullness of God is in us, the more we realize that Jesus Christ really is alive, and He really is inside us. And His presence does dwell in us. The more we realize that, lack just seems to dissipate. Because now I'm not trying to do things to make God happy with me. I'm spending my time realizing how happy God is with me. I'm spending my energy discovering that God is pleased with me. I'm spending my life discovering that God, before the creation of the world, already chose me. He already had me in His hands. He already had me there. Before the creation of the world, you were chosen. And that's such an amazing truth. And the more we pursue God, the more we pursue Him, He reveals more of that to us. We get more understanding and more encounter. You have been given the right. None of us deserve that right. None of us were good enough. But now, because of Jesus and out of His love, why did He do it for us? Because He loves us. He loves us so. That's why He did it. And His love cannot be broken. And your relationship with Him cannot be broken. And I'm just going to plant something on you. Just a thought I had in the last couple of days. Related to this. The Bible says that the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Jesus. In Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. But I believe the Bible also says that by faith, we can know and experience that same fullness. And I think that as we dig deep into these truths, that God gave us the right to be children of God, sons and daughters of the King, knowing that we already have God inside us, I believe there's something God wants to do to reveal that He is in us. That God is pleased to dwell in you bodily. God is pleased to dwell in you bodily. And I don't think the body of Christ has seen the revelation of that. That the living God, the one true living God, would come as flesh, as Jesus Christ, to live, die on the cross, rise again, go to be with the Father, and leave us here with the Holy Spirit, who is God, so we have the fullness of God. And so I'm just going to close in prayer and just pray that God would just reveal Himself, reveal His fullness in our hearts. Father God, thank You so much that You gave each and every one of us here the right to be a child of God. Even if we haven't even received it, or we've forgotten it, or we didn't even realize what had happened to us, Lord, the truth is You have given us the right to be children of God. And I thank You for that. We thank You for that. We thank You for that, Lord. And we thank You, Father, that You have given us Yourself through Your Holy Spirit to live in us. We cannot go away from You. In our sleep, You are there. When we wake, You are there. When we're confused, You are there. When we're hungry, You are there. When our football team loses, Lord, You are there. When we feel lost, Lord, You are there. When our children play up, You are there. When we have desire for children or desire for a spouse, You are there. There is nowhere where we can flee from Your Spirit. And Lord, we thank You for that. We thank You that You will never leave us. And we thank You that the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Jesus, which is why we can come into relationship with You. And we thank You, Lord, that You are pleased to dwell in us. In You are fullness. In You there is no lack. There is no lack in You. And You are in us, Lord. So there's something there inside us. Around all the trials and the tribulations and the weaknesses and the suffering, there's something there, Lord, that is You. And You are fullness and there is no lack in You. And I ask, Lord, that You release it out of us, that we might realize this tomorrow, that we might realize this midweek, that we might realize this in difficult times. Through the pain, through the suffering, Lord, we might realize this and break free from focusing on that which is not of you. That we might break free and know that you are alive in us and you have not finished with us. The fullness of you is in us. You are in us. You have not finished. Your work is not yet done, Lord. But you have given us your fullness. And I thank you for that. I praise you for that. And I pray over each and every heart in this room that they would taste that fullness. They would know that fullness. They would encounter that fullness. And it would change the perspective of each and every heart in this room. That the lenses they see their life through are not a devalued personality or a sense of lack, but a sense of fullness because they know you. Because you are the one true living God. And you will always be the one true living God. Amen.